We're here for the last case on the calendar, Hassan Naeem versus U.S. Attorney General. Counsel for petitioner, are you ready?
I am, Your Honor.
You have 10 minutes for your main argument and 5 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'm Thomas Masucci. I represent Mr. Hassan Naeem in his petition for review of a BIA decision which dismissed his appeal of an immigration judge's decision which denied his applications for relief, including most notably political asylum. As is the case with probably about 90% of asylum cases, this case turned on credibility. And I would like to just spend a moment talking about credibility in general terms as I think it affects issues in this case. Credibility is the most essential element, as I think it is, for establishing eligibility for asylum. Then facts are the building blocks for any credibility assessment. And by far the most fundamental consideration in assessing those facts is the consistency of those facts. And consistency has a very, very prominent place in the statute of post-Real ID governing credibility in asylum cases. Most notably, the phrase of consideration, the internal consistency of such statements, consistency of such statements with other evidence of record, any inaccuracies or falsehoods in such statements without regard to whether an inconsistency, accuracy, or falsehood goes to the heart of the claim. This, on its face, appears to give the fact finder a liberal wide range of bases for denying asylum based upon any inconsistency in the record.
Can I ask you to address something that seems like it may be dispositive to me on the credibility determination, and that's the immigration judge's discussion of demeanor. So the immigration judge said that, you know, he looked at this person while testifying, that he was evasive and non-responsive. You know, setting aside all of the sort of inconsistencies that, you know, I think you make some decent arguments that some of the things that the immigration judge said were inconsistent may not be entirely inconsistent. What do we do with the fact that the immigration judge said, hey, I saw the guy looking at me, he was evasive, he was non-responsive, he kept answering questions after his answer had already happened, he was talking even while the immigration judge was talking, he had prepared answers, canned answers. What do we do with that determination by the immigration judge?
Well, Your Honor, I did address this in the brief briefly. The sections of the transcript which the board references on your face don't seem apt to what it is that the immigration judge is saying about demeanor. I'd also note, I didn't raise this in the brief, but this hearing was riddled with, let's call them technical difficulties, in terms of, everyone was appearing by the telephone. There were interruptions at the facility where my client was being housed, issues with voices being dropped, to me, that the immigration judges, as this was argued below in the initial appeal brief, the judge was not very, she used some language relating to demeanor, but she wasn't very specific.
Let me get you to specifically address what the immigration judge said on that. That may be the way to go about this. So here's what the immigration judge said first, that Hassan Naeem, maybe I'm pronouncing that right, gave the impression that he was recalling words that had been memorized. And if you actually look at the record on page 187, during the hearing, the immigration judge actually said, raised a question about whether he was using sort of hidden cues to have his testimony. What do you say about that?
Well, what I say about that is that, if anything, the colloquy on page 187 belies a kind of a baseline distrust that the immigration judge had towards my client, kind of pulling him out based on some suspicion that he was reading off the crib notes. And that, actually, that request by the judge, I found actually kind of disturbing. Rather than bolstering the judgment that the judge may have had regarding demeanor, kind of, to me, suggests a predisposition to not believe on anything. And I think the fact that, you know, her opinion, I think, like I mentioned, cited 10 different reasons, varying degrees of accuracy and cogency, I think sort of confirms that inherent suspicion.
I mean, maybe you're right about that, but I guess what are we as a reviewing court who did not participate in this hearing supposed to say about the judge who said and watched this person testify and even mentioned this stuff on the record at the trial? I mean, how are we supposed to overturn that credibility determination? Are we supposed to just say, well, it seems like the judge is unlikely to believe people who testify, and therefore let's say we want to overturn that credibility determination. I mean, what would we say in an opinion to possibly overturn that credibility determination?
Well, Your Honor, if you go back to the statutory provision, it would involve a consideration of the totality of the circumstances. And I think in this case, one could argue that even though there was a demeanor finding entered, that demeanor finding was rather bare bones, and it was entered by a judge which seemed predisposed to not believing my client. And those elements of the totality of the circumstances to me seems a perfectly valid way to address and minimize the significance of the demeanor finding, not to just discount it completely.
Counsel, would you like to save your remaining time for rebuttal?
I just a couple of things, Your Honor. As the court has noted, a lot of the arguments in my brief had to do with credibility, and I just wanted to say that in terms of this free reign that the judge seems to have, an immigration judge seems to have in terms of making the adverse credibility finding regarding the inconsistency, that language is in tension with other language in the statute, specifically totality of the circumstances. And I would say that in cases both argued before the immigration judge and also in appeal, that the government tends to emphasize the free rein that a judge has, whereas I think the qualifying language in tension with that implies, or implicates rather, the accuracy of the counting of facts of the development and also the cogency of the observations that are made about this fact. And as I think I pointed out in my brief, those aspects of this decision, of this agency decision, are highly suspect.
Council, thank you. Your time has expired, and you have 5 minutes remaining for rebuttal. Thank you. Mr. Hartman, are you ready to proceed?
I am, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Oh, wait, is Judge Carnes still on?
He's dropped.
Oh, he has dropped? Okay.
Is the video off, or is he on?
I didn't see him on my screen for a lot of the argument. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't realize that he dropped.
Yes, Anthony?
Judge Carnes dropped from the call. We're trying to get him back on.
Okay. Anthony, you know what we'll do is we'll take a five-minute recess, and Valerie, you can get us when Judge Carnes has returned. Okay? Thank you.
All right.